Early in my career, someone at Merrill Lynch asked if they could bring in some traders to pitch another part of our firm. I said sure. So the Merrill team heads off to a local deli and turns up with this incredible spread of sandwiches. I put the traders in a conference room, and I'm being social as I wait for my colleagues to arrive. While I'm there, I try some of the food, and it's easily the best thing I've eaten all year. I'm sitting there, fat and happy, when the colleague they want to meet at my firm wanders in. He's dismissive of their sales pitch and walks out again. It's kind of rude, but not unusual for our business. One of the Merrill guys, let's call him Britt, is outraged, though. Says, "Pack the food up. We're bloody leaving." They put down bags and just begin throwing all the sandwiches back in. I think this is hilarious. I never admired salespeople who suck up to clients too much, so I decide I like Britt. After he steals a pen and stomps off towards the elevator with the food, I ask him about this guy who just threw his toys in one of the most important firms on Wall Street. Turns out Britt's girlfriend works in HR at Morgan Stanley. She's in charge of the incoming intern program, which is full of wannabe masters of the universe. Young, dumb, and full of cum. Britt, however, is kind of a jealous guy. He'd attended a lot of orientations to keep an eye on her. This is back when they served alcohol at these things. At one of the events, an intern is getting a bit familiar with his girlfriend, and Britt can really drink. So he challenges him to a competition. The intern is a big guy himself, and they start doing shots. They go shot for shot until the intern gives up, walks outside, and gets hit by a car. Next event, he sees another one of the interns grinding on his girlfriend, grabs him by the neck, and lifts him into the air with his feet kicking. There are a couple more incidents like this. It's an eventful year. Britt and his girlfriend decide a ring on her finger might deter more suitors and keep him out of trouble. So they get engaged. A month or so later, they're in Hong Kong, and his fiancée is getting picked up on by some French guy. Britt takes the frog and throws him onto the windshield of a taxi, shattering it and causing a mini riot outside the Mandarin Oriental. Unfortunately, the guy speaks Cantonese, and Britt gets thrown in jail. This was on his honeymoon. Anyway, my salesperson at Merrill, who everyone loved, says it's much appreciated that I keep trying to open doors for them at my firm, and would I like to come to their Christmas party? It's not really for clients, but an exception could be made. I say, of course. And that's how I found myself at Harry's at Hanover during the Merrill Lynch Christmas party. Now, this is after the internet bubble had burst, but before Merrill was acquired by Bank of America. So there was still lots of dumb money around. Sales was just about relationship management and lying your balls off. So jobs were plentiful, and their trading area on the fifth floor was massive, because coverage was split up between listed and NASDAQ names. Basically, twice as many people as you really needed. On top of that, Merrill probably had 40 people down on the New York Stock Exchange. Harry's was their local spot, so the New York Stock Exchange guys are there in force. I'm up on the second floor of Harry's, and I reintroduce myself to Britt. I apologize for my colleague dismissing them earlier in the day. He scowls at me, but we drink a beer, and things are fine. Until he sees another Merrill guy trying to pick up his Morgan Stanley girlfriend. He heads over there, and they have words. The other Merrill guy was a bit of a dick, would sell wholesale Vineyard Vines gear at full price to people around the trading floor. But it turns out, he knows how to fight. Britt ends up throwing a wild roundhouse punch, gets jabbed twice in the face, and hits the ground. He gets up, the Vineyard Vines guy tries the jab again, but Britt slips it and body slams him. When most fights end up on the ground, they look pathetic, like two old people screwing. So I figure, this one is over. Then Eddie McMahon turns up. Eddie ran the trading floor with no college degree, literally started his career in the breaks room, made his way up through operations, and then learned how to trade. Eventually, he reached the pinnacle of finance through sheer perseverance and grit. Eddie's wearing a sport coat with a red turtleneck, and everyone's been busting his balls and calling him Steinbrenner all night. But he's a rough and tumble guy from Queens. Gives as good as he gets. Anyway, somehow Eddie gets popped trying to break up the fight, and then he starts throwing hands. With the boss trying to hit random people, the fight spreads like mad. There's this surreal Christmas music, decorations flying everywhere, silver bells exploding, trees falling over. It even spills into the kitchen, with the cooking staff getting knocked on their asses. I stood by drinking free beer and thanked God for being alive in such a remarkable age. So this all happens Thursday night. On Friday, everyone important took the day off. But the next week, there are high-level interrogations in corner offices to try to get to the bottom of the brawl. Hundreds of people witnessed it, so they're all pissing their pants. Some of the interviews are up in the luncheon room, with all the little white men on the wall glowering at the traitors as they nervously walk in. The exception to the interviews, even though they say they were very much part of the fight, were the more senior Merrill guys down on the floor. Remember, this is before changes to something known as Rule 92 inadvertently killed off the New York Stock Exchange business, so it was still a profitable arm of the brokerage. When the head office summoned them to give their side of the story, they just said they were too busy and management could go suck a bag of dicks. One of these floor guys was a hysterical character by the name of Jimmy Riley. He had a massive untrimmed mustache, looked like a fireman, and was a decent artist. As a floor broker, he had a little handheld machine that would show you what the market was in a stock. Instead of putting the bid ask in when the office asked for color in a stock like SLB, he'd drawn photos of the head trader Eddie punching the other traders in the face. Everyone in Merrill and a ton of clients could see these cartoons just by asking for a look in any of Jimmy's stocks. Anyway, Jimmy did record business that day. Management eventually figured it was just Merrill on Merrill violence, and everyone got a pass. Merry Christmas.